Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's bringing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're going to ask you, hey, share far and wide, would you please? We need to become like some of these European farmers and put millions of people in the streets because we got to stop these bullshit communists. We've got Paul Preston with us, and we're going to make a tour around the world here, starting in Georgia. Oh man, Arizona's bad. Georgia's a close second, and Paul's going to be telling us all about it. Before we join Paul, though. You know my belief, parallel economy, baby. You need to get away from the clutches of the banks because they can steal your money because you've been declared by the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 to be an unsecured creditor. So here's what you got to do. I'm going to send you a free information packet. No one's going to bug you. No one's going to call you. All you got to do is look at it and say, gee, I can save my retirement. I can get the majority of my money out of the bank and I can make good money with it. Yes, you can. Now, the FTC wants me to tell you there's no guarantees. We agree with giving that warning. It's too bad they didn't have Sam Bankman-Fried give that warning, but we're happy to comply. But the reality is I've been an advertiser of Noble Gold for 6 years. I've been a customer for over five. I mean, I sleep better at night knowing that the banks can't grab the majority of what I own, and you don't want that either. So go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, or you can call directly 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Join me in getting away from these people. Okay, Paul, it's good to have you here, my friend. Paul is the president of the New California Movement, making great progress towards becoming our 51st state, breaking away from the People's Republic of California. And Paul also has a popular radio show we'll be telling you about to listen, Agenda 21 Radio. I've had the pleasure of being on that show a number of times. It is a great show, most popular digital radio show in America. Well, Paul, I want to start with an anecdote, and then we'll lead right into Georgia. Carrie Lake exposes the chairman of the Republican Party for offering a bribe on behalf of rich people back east who will kill him if they find out he does anything wrong, and she tapes it. He has to resign. Of course, no one's going after him because there's no crimes anymore. We have no justice system. But she goes to the Republican meeting to pick a new person. She gets up and makes a nomination, and the Republicans boo her, which means they're fine with stolen elections. And by the way, they were bribing her not to run against a Democrat, Paul. It's not GOP versus GOP. It was GOP bribing Kerry not to run against a radical leftist Democrat, Ruben Gallegos, and they booed her. So they're fine with stolen elections. They're fine with bribes. I'm sure they're fine with Epstein's list. And you know what? This is what I'm telling people. You need to vote out most of the Republican incumbents in the primary. They're a bunch of rhinos that are controlled by China, the cartels, and their money laundering operations. So, Paul, that's my bent. But you've got something that's going to really, I think, get people's attention that's going on in Georgia. Tell us about it.
Well, that Cullen case is the case that was brought 6 years ago and basically promulgated by the Diebold machines at the time. They were using election machines. Diebolds are the precursors in many states like California that had been around for a long time. The Diebold machines actually were thrown out in decertified, but under Kevin Shelley as Secretary of State in 2003, with the Schwarzenegger recall election, by the way. Let's hold that thought. And the reason why was because Shelley found out that there's the tabulators were taking instructions by way of the internet from Venezuela.
I haven't heard of Venezuela, but I've heard of China and Italy. So you're saying there's a third location for voting machines now to be controlled remotely?
Well, the first one, the very first one that they started with was in Venezuela. And that was that they started with Venezuela, then they worked their way around the world. And as, you know, ESNS and all these other companies started to grow, then you finally ended up with another company called Dominion out of Sequoia, ESNS, and so on. Then that Dominion became the dominant theme machine. But there are other machines out there, Heart Rarity. There's ESNS and there's Diebold even still today as a variant of Dominion and others. These machines all have to work in a coordinated style all around the nation in order to function properly. We found that one out. So this case started back in 2018, I think, or just before 2018, with Cullen and some other patriots who wanted to get to the bottom of the voting fraud because they saw the fraud then. Well, this case has just been wallowing around in courts and everything. So finally, it started to really pick up steam when the 2020 election happened, because then, you know, it was more intense. They understood what the cheat was really about. So they ended up getting a Cullen, the plaintiffs in this case, they ended up hiring J. Alec Halderman, from the University of Michigan. And he's an expert on computers. He's an expert on tabulation machines. He's an expert on all the voting systems all throughout the world. And he's been following these machines for about 20 some years. Well, he was doing YouTubes 11 years ago, Dave. But, and, you know, now that we people are putting a place and face together. But I saw them too about 11 years ago. And that's how my base knowledge about everything, as I've discovered about the machines, is because of him, you know, and his research and everything. It wasn't just the one. He did seminars all over the world on these machines, kind of telling the world that, you know, you guys, you shouldn't be using the machines.
Yeah. Didn't he give congressional testimony too?
I believe he did, yeah.
And he gave, and I saw this on YouTube. He demonstrated how you could flip the vote from 52 to 48 one way to 52-48 the other way.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and anyway, so he ends up going around the world telling the world all about this stuff, and then he ends up, the biggest one that I saw that was the most convincing was the one he did at UC Irvine back in 2000, I think, 18. But his predicting about the 2016 election and then the 2020 election, of course, caught everybody. But, you know, he had solid facts to support whatever he was saying. And he demonstrated successfully 11 years ago how these machines can be electronically manipulated, how
That's
the
right.
votes can be manipulated, how the tabulators can be easily manipulated. He did a radical demonstration in the courtroom, radical. It was. He's with a demonstration he has done for years, actually, and I've seen it, where he has two potential candidates vying for a presidential position, as Benedict Arnold and George Washington. Well, sure enough, you know, they put in the card and everything, and it turns out that Benedict Arnold wins 3-2. And of course, everybody's going, wait a minute, there's something wrong with that, you know, and said, oh no, that's what the vote turned out to be. And everything on the machine registered that. Well, when they took the card out, they looked at the card, and guess what? It was 5-0 George Washington. And then he goes on and continues to demonstrate how he can manipulate the votes manually just with the machines, but also shows electronically how you can put a thumb drive in, and the machine will magically flip votes. It'll do all the things that we're talking about. He did that first demonstration 11 years ago. And then all of a sudden, it pops up in his own report to the court. The court unsealed the report about a month and a half ago. And I looked at the report and I said, well, just this is all the stuff I know already. This is old news. So what that means is this. It wasn't what we're discovering. This was new news to Ratzenberger. And Ratzenberger was holding up the delivery of that. I mean, because he was the Secretary of State, he was holding up the delivery of that report with the court. And for at least 2.5 years, Dave. So we could have had this report 2.5 years ago, but we didn't. But now here's the important thing. This report is coming out in court, which has never happened. There's never been any presentation of voter fraud in any court in the nation until now. And now it's entered into the record, and you have a judge, Totenberg is her name, and she's a Clinton appointee.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry. I think an Obama appointee. And she has been convinced of the fraud. And what we're hearing from the court and some of the citizen journalists there, that what we're hearing is the judge is leaning towards, wait for it, getting rid of the machines out of Georgia and ordering a one-day paper ballot hand-counted election in Georgia in November. Shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fraud. It's complete fraud. And now it's seen, it's in court. And now Dominion, have you heard from Dominion on this? Not a word, have you? or in any of the other companies? Or what about Mr. Ratzenberger? I think he ought to explain how come he's been sidling up to all the California county clerk recorders over the since August. He came out and spoke to their convention. What did he tell them? All hang together? We're all going to hang together or hang one at a time? Well, I mean, what type of things? And he's been out consulting with Shasta County's county clerk recorder. It was about as dirty as they get. So I mean, you can see the ramifications of this, Dave. And this, I don't think it's manifested yet, but give it another month, and the general public is going to find out about this. And then it's Katie bar the
The
door.
door,
Can you
yeah.
imagine? I think this is the bye-bye time for Biden. And then what you're going to see is you're going to see pretty boy Gavin Newsom step in. That's all they have.
Yeah, I hear you on this. I here's the interesting thing, and I think we should clarify this for the audience. There has not been a court case on voter fraud. They always say you don't have standing, or they exact like with Carrie Lake. Let me give you an example. You had Katie Hobbs, the Secretary of State, running for governor against Kerry, and she interfered in the election by telling people they had to do certain things at certain times in their elections in their county. And she violated the law in doing that, conflict of interest. And now you had two counties that didn't want to certify because of this, and she told them she'd put them in prison. And so that's as far as court cases got. Now, when Kerry got into court, they wouldn't admit that evidence. And then the other thing is when the voting machines failed, 60% of them in Republican districts in Maricopa County, and over 150,000 voters were disenfranchised. They said there's no problem with that. This is what the judges were saying. So
Right.
that's as
I
close as
remember.
they've come to entertaining evidence until now.
Yeah, and now it's no one wants it to come out, but the bottom line is it's coming out regardless of what happens, it is going to come out, and that's going to be a whole different dynamic. And I know out here in California, we just had our one-day election demo in 17 counties. It went absolutely superbly. One-day counting, paper ballots. The whole nine yards. Our people were ready for it. Shelby Bunch, who's in charge of all this stuff, she just did a fantastic job and got everybody on course for the right thing to do. The first time in American history this has ever happened. And I'm telling you, there's going to be another election coming up in March. It's going to involve more than 50 counties, Dave, of New California.
What's the
Now,
election about?
these are demo elections. We want to get. It's kind of like in basketball practice or football practice, you set the people out on the floor and you walk through it. It's a walkthrough type of thing, a demo,
Exactly.
form fitting, form practice, that sort of thing. Anyway, so this is what we're doing with the public, and it worked out brilliantly last Saturday, absolutely brilliantly. Now we're going to expand it to more counties. This is in preparation for our own new California state election. To get our constitution approved by the public. That's what this is about. So we're no longer part of California. We don't look at it. We're a state. We're a state in the, and no, we're not a state in the union yet. That's what we want to try and do. But there's a lot of things going on now with that. And of course, that's the Abbott story. But getting back just momentarily to this whole thing with the election, I think you're going to see in California all paper ballots. They're not. I think that the timing is going to be right for that. There's going to be paper ballots, and these paper ballots are going to tell the true story finally about some of these characters. There may be some other things happening, though, and that may be what is going to be revealed if somebody says, look, we're going to push this whole thing about fraud. And what that means is that you're going to see elections that are going to be considered fraudulent all the way back to 2018. If that's the case, then you get a judge that's going to rule that, what's going to, and possibly could, then you're going to see people being frog marched right out of Washington, just exactly as the Brunsons had projected. And we had theorized this back when we thought that Trump was going to be able to step in because of the correction on the voting for the electoral votes. We theorized that there could be this kind of a process that's set up that anybody who won by the corrupt election system would have to be recalled and revoted on. And that would mean Biden would have to be dismissed as president. And there would be a special president or somebody who would have to sit in until further notice, basically. But we're theorizing that Trump actually could be that person. Remember, Trump could have been the Speaker of the House and then elevate. It still could happen now. I mean, that still could, that theory of it we talked about, and that the House appoint Trump as the Speaker of the House, get rid of Mike Johnson, which there's a strong feeling that people want to get rid of Mike Johnson right now.
No, he should be gotten rid of. Where's the where's the, he meets with Paul Ryan, and all of a sudden we don't hear any more about Hunter Biden or Joe Biden's impeachment.
We don't hear it. All we hear is more money going to the illegal foreign nationals coming across the border.
Yeah.
And that hasn't that quieted down. They've really put the kibosh on news and media coming out of that. Ever since Biden got the notice from Abbott, which that's a whole big story in and of itself too. But there's a lot of moving parts going on. The border's a big part of it. And this election, which I think is going to ultimately not happen in the way that they think it will. I don't think that they've out here in California, they don't have the money to run the election, number one. And these county supervisors, we just found out about one of the big counties, Santa Barbara, is in major financial trouble as a county. We just found that out from our county chairs. And listen to this. Are you ready for this? What's the county solution? Here's the county solution. They have some legacy oil derricks that sit off the coast, right?
Yeah,
You see
yeah.
it in Santa Barbara. And they're shut down. The environmentalists made them shut them down. And so they shut them down. And now the county stands through the environmentalists. We're reopening them because it's revenue and we need the revenue.
That's just absolutely amazing. I you triggered something in me and I lost a thought. Oh, I wanted to mention this. Raffensperger and the governor of Georgia, Kemp. They're owned by China, and I covered this several years ago. I mean, they're in China knee deep.
Well, that's an interesting thing you say that. That we've known that. That's one of the reasons that Raffensperger is out in California. This is the Chi-Com connection to our elections out here. That's we put two and two together real quick on him and also on Kemp. And there's so many others. I mean, look at what's going on in your own state of Arizona. Everybody's connected somehow to China. We had
Well,
Penn.
yeah, you're talking about the report to the governor with John Thaler, former RICO investigator, and yeah, he names names in the legislature who's on the take with Sinaloa money laundering, and that's byproduct of China. If you talk in Arizona, in fact, many states, if you talk cartel, you're talking China. You talk China, you're talking cartel.
That's
And
right.
they and you know what else I found out, Paul? You'll find this interesting. I don't know if you've ever seen the show Suits on Netflix, where you got a guy that is really smart and they hire him as a lawyer and he's a fraud. He never went to law school, but he's so smart he gets away with it. Okay. Well, listen to me. The version of Suits is going on in Arizona. John Thaler has affidavits showing this. There are lawyers who've become judges that never went to law school and databases were hacked and credentials were implanted. And John Thaler has the evidence. This is going on all through Arizona.
Does not surprise me. It's Bush country. It doesn't surprise me one little bit.
Well, I
And again,
mean, like I said, Carrie Lake gets booed for exposing a bribe and fraud. Unbelievable. She gets booed by the GOP. That's why folks do not vote for GOP in the upcoming primary election, with a few exceptions. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, Comer. I think, and Comer's had his legs cut out from him by Mike Johnson. He did not want to drop the impeachment. This is what I've been told by a staffer. But Mike Johnson ordered him to because Paul Ryan was all over him. You got to wonder, what do they have on Mike Johnson?
well, they've obviously got something. And, that's why I say, our situation for New California is that it had, in a perfect world, which we all know it's not perfect and we take risks, we'd be wanting to put our people in there to push for statehood. Right now, we're not doing that. Right now, what we've done is we officially, by this letter right here, we have officially joined the group to support Texas as the state of New California. We are the 26th state to support, and we sent that letter off today, and
That's
one to
awesome.
President Trump and the rest to the governors, and also to Governor Abbott. Now that's what we're doing as the new California state. We're supporting them, and we're
Paul,
glad to do that.
I got to throw a fly in the ointment here, okay? And I'm going to defer to your judgment, but let me lay this out. Biden has never given a crap about the border. Biden is, I mean, Biden, excuse me, I mean, Abbott has never given a crap about the Texas border. He's never cared about illegals. He's never cared about absconding with Texas resources to pay. He's never tried to regulate Catholic services or any of these NGOs that bring these illegals in. And all of a sudden, he sounds like me and you, quoting Article 4, Section 4. And he says, yeah, we're going to stand up to you, by God. I'm going to tell you, Paul, there's a lot of people that I'm talking to, and some of them are military types. They think Biden and Abbott are in cahoots to start a civil war so martial law can ensue. There'll be no election, and it's a shutdown of America. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. And I'm no bad. I am absolutely no Abbott fan. You talk to Michael Young for 2 seconds, he brings everything out. You scratch him a little bit, and he comes out Abbott. The guy's World Economic Forum, blah blah blah, and he's adamant about it. And it's true. It's true. His partner, or sometime partner, going down to the Darien Gap is Ann Vandersteel. She was on my show today, and we talked a lot about that. But I don't trust Abbott, not at all. I think it's hysterical. Some of the language that he's using, it's like they've been reading our declarations or our grievances over the last 190 weeks when we did those. But
I agree.
it's the same language and set up the same way. So it's not unlike or the situation that Mr. Abbott had got a lot of heat. This is what some people are saying, that he got a lot of heat from the public. They're pissed. Finally, they're pissed. And he's reacting to it. But here's the other thing, too. It came out with Tucker Carlson when I was listening to him, and he had been talking to Abbott. And Abbott, when he was talking, he had already written a letter. The letter was out there. Everybody saw it. Well, Tucker Carlson was interviewing Abbott while he was in India.
India, an enemy of America now, BRICS nation trying to bring down our economy. Yeah,
Right, he's
exactly.
over in India.
Yeah, I
And
know.
he's over in India for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
And that's.
you Texas National Guard, you get down to the border, you're on your own. I'm going to India.
Well, no, actually, the lieutenant governor and both the lieutenant governor and the attorney general, Paxton, they're Trump supporters. Now, here's a little newsflash out of Eagle Pass as of about 4 hours ago. I got a couple of tapes. There are no illegal immigrants at the border. There's none trying to get across.
Yeah, I'm hearing. Hey, Roger, Smokey Bear, keep the illegals in Mexico for a while. It's
Yeah,
hot at the border. I
exactly.
guarantee you. Well, listen,
Exactly right.
I already know this for a fact. My two Border Patrol sources have told me independently of each other that they have witnessed Border Patrol senior officials, senior officers, radio when it's okay to bring the illegals in. I'm not joking when I say
Oh,
this.
I totally believe that. They have this system so slicked up,
Yeah.
But my, but the but the, if you can make it work, it works. That's the point. And here there's some complications going on, and I'm going to test these two in Texas right now. I believe they're going to ignore anything that Abbott needs to do as a governor. They're not. They don't respect him. He's off the continent. They're going to, I think, go rogue on him, which is what they must do. I have a strong hunch that they are going to act accordingly as a governor would if there's another let go of people coming across the border. And
Yeah.
they will stop them. They will stop them. But this is going to play out over the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be interesting to see. I know Michael Yon, a war correspondent, he couldn't stay away from this theater. He thinks there's going to be an outbreak. He's like us, pretty much thinks that this is going to be a trigger moment, false flag.
I agree. I agree.
Could very well happen along here. That we signed the letter to show support, not necessarily for Abbott. But we signed a letter as New California, more in support of the 25 other states to say we stand with you in protecting the border. That's what our statement basically was. And
That's
we're
true.
comfortable
No,
with that because
that's.
what you have right now is a bifurcation of the states. Well, that the last time that happened was the Civil War.
I know
And
it's
you've
split
got
right down the middle. You know, it's amazing how it's split down the middle. Paul, I want to show the audience something here, and we're not revealing any numbers here, but see if I can get this to display. Maybe not. Oh, here we go. These are text messages here that I can't get it to display on the screen. But I'm looking at two text messages here. I tried to communicate with Paul twice today. And you're not the only one, Paul. My general friend, I can't get a hold of him either the same way. My text messages to you show up as failed. Yet I turned around and I texted Doug Thornton, ex-DHS supervisor, and it went right through. And I just said, wow. See, I tried to send you a reminder about our interview tonight, and that didn't go through, and I didn't catch it until later this evening. And then I sent you, oh, Paul, you've got the codes for our interview over on our email, and it wouldn't go through. You're having trouble because you're let's put it this way, you're over the target and you're taking flak. Tell people what's going on with your communications.
Well, they're just being hacked like crazy. Just before the show here, I had to adjust my sound, which I don't need to adjust my sound, but I haven't touched my sound since this morning on the radio show. Oh, by the way, before the radio show, I had to really go through and readjust all my sound. We're out right now in some channels. I'm not going to say which one, which ones, because they're being jammed up right now. And this is just typical, but also loss of service, loss of our oftentimes our data from our websites being disappeared. We're starting to experience things like that.
I had a data dump too. I was in communication with the guy who's trying to syndicate my show, and he's having some success, and all of a sudden all my data to him disappeared.
Right.
No.
The disappearing data. But I've been able to
Well,
recover.
I'll name the guy. It's Scotty Sachs,
Oh yeah.
who's on Salem Radio, ex-Hollywood producer, left because he wouldn't put up all the BS. Great man, great figure in our movement. He's involved in that trucking convoy going to the border. He and Kim Yater, and I'm sure you know who Kim is from San Diego.
Yeah, I know
She's
Kim and I know
on
Kim is.
Salem Radio with Scotty. I can't communicate with Scotty. I've had a heck of a time getting through. I actually had to call one of his associates today to get a message to him. And so they're attacking us on a communication level. And here's my point for bringing it up, Paul. I don't give a crap about the harassment, but what they're trying to do is disrupt our communications because we're on the money with what we're saying.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. We're over the target. We're on the money. And they don't know quite kind of what to do with this. But we're not, listen, we're not stopping. We're pushing back hard here in New California, and we're pushing back hard on the Agenda 21 radio. We're not afraid of the truth. They are, and they're backpedaling, Dave. They are absolutely backpedaling. They
I
got so
know.
many things. The onion is unraveling, and when it's hot, and the onion's unraveling, you're in trouble, and they are in trouble.
They are in big trouble.
And I don't know what there's going to have to be something big that they're going to try and do, and it could be the Oroville Dam,
Oh my gosh, we have covered that so many times.
and it's back. It's kind of interesting. They're changing the numbers. Okay, so what happened is we've been watching the Oroville Dam because the Oroville Dam gets to 813 feet and it gets to the bottom of the spillway. This story is just repetitive, because we've been telling everybody. But now we've been having all these rainstorms, and we're expecting a rainstorm again tomorrow that's going to last for 5 days straight. Well, that really isn't totally unusual for up here, but it usually happens maybe in December, not February. So we have this storm coming, and we've had a succession of them, and as a result, now the lake is up. The lake is up above about 840. So last Monday, the DWR, which by the way is now administered by a whole different group of people than even a year ago, which I find interesting. Anyway, they decided to run a test of the spillway. It's a 15-minute test. They're going to run 750 CFS over the surface. That's the hardly nothing. It's less than 1,000 CFS cubic feet per second over the spillway. That it's supposed to be built for 179,000 cubic feet per second. No way will it even go to 20,000. It just won't make it. So they're doing this test, and suddenly we're starting to get all the numbers coming in. They had inflows of 29,000 CFS a couple of nights ago, inflows of that much. So that water is now up to 840,
Right.
and from 813 to 840. And we think they're going to do, we think that potentially they could destroy that dam, and that's the big bomb. They're
Paul,
really doing.
let me encapsulate this very, very quickly because I've written about it and we've done so many shows on this. If that dam goes, rushing water will be in Sacramento very, very quickly, less than an hour, and you got 2 million people that are in danger. It's going to wipe out one of the biggest bread baskets in America in terms of nuts and fruits and rice, and it's the biggest exporter in those products in the world. And what is it? 70% of retail crosses Interstate 15, Interstate 5, and so you'll have commerce totally disrupted if this dam goes. So you have a mass casualty event. You have disruption of agriculture. There'll be food shortages around the world, and including America, and there'll be total chaos. And this is exactly what they need for a distraction to stop the election from happening and having all the disclosures that we're making right now about what's going on.
And we anticipate it's going to happen now. You know, there's this, you had the Secretary of the Interior for Bill Clinton. I can't remember his name right now, but he came out, and he's the guy who has the idea that you should take down all dams in the Western United States.
Yeah, I know, and they've tried
Pretty
that.
wild, right? Well, they actually have been doing that now up there in the Klamath River area. They've just removed, I believe, two of the four dams that are up there.
Southern
And
Oregon,
it is a mess. It is a filthy, they're killing fish, they're killing habitat, they're killing deer, any animal that has anything to do with that river, because of all the sludge, all the filth they've destroyed. They've destroyed the fisheries. We knew this was going to happen. I'm a biologist. I mean, you know, to
I
me, it's a
know.
no-brainer. You're going to do something like that with this thing. And again, these are people. Jerry Brown was all over this. They want to destroy these dams. And of course, we found this out because this guy, I can't remember his name right now, I'll think of it. He came out, he was hired by Jerry Brown in 2017. And he comes out and he's telling everybody, he goes up to the, we have two dams not too far from me in Yuba County. And he stands on the dams and says, "We're going to take these dams down." And he's doing that all over up and down California. And then all of a sudden we had the big blow up in Oroville. So everybody's going, "Oh, you're going to take this one down? Is this part of the plan?" So now they've actually gotten to the point where they've been destroying two of the four dams in the Klamath River, which is what they've always tried to do. They use the Indians as the stooges, basically. And it's what it's doing. It's ruined another breadbasket of food production in California. And the Klamath River will go at flood stages because it was a torrential flooding river, and homes, everything is going to be totally taken out in big rains like what we're going to experience now. But the Oroville Dam is the next target, I'm telling you. They have everything planned out. I mean, we have put together a theory that what they're going to do to trigger this whole thing, because they want to get rid of the whole project, the entire project of the Oroville Dam. That means you have to go upriver in the Feather River and take down all those dams that are up there, which hold back water so that you'll be able to save water and have water that goes in the Oroville Dam to produce energy and also to supply water. Well, what they plan to do, in my opinion, is that you may recall that you have ammonium nitrate missing, about 30 tons of it. That was missing since about a year, over a year ago out of Wyoming. And they took that thing and they drove it to Mojave, California, the cars, and the cars got lost. The train cars got lost. And that's the missing ammonium nitrate. Well, my theory is that they're going to take that ammonium nitrate and put it in box cars, or could very easily put it in box cars and park them right next to the dams, on the tracks right next to the dams in the Feather River Canyon, and detonate each one of those, and that would do the dams in. That water would rush into Oroville. That water would cause the overtopping of Oroville, and ultimately, if they were driving water over that spillway, a combined event would destroy the dam, and that water would flood, Dave, like you talked about in 2018.
Two
2 million
million, 2 million people at risk. That's,
right.
yeah, and there's no escape. Once that dam breaks, those people in Sacramento will never get out in time.
Never. When I was sitting here in this studio, I had cameras. We had cameras and all these computers looking at various parts of the river, the Feather River. And it was very, very interesting, Feather River and the Sacramento River and the American River. But it was very, very interesting to see how the water level was matching the critical points of when we thought this dam might go. I was sitting here, this was the night we thought it was going to go. And on this screen, I'm watching Sacramento. On this screen, I'm watching the Yuba River. On this screen, I'm watching several, they're all levee top to levee top. They couldn't, they're going to start spilling over. Had that dam gone with all those rivers at that maximum flood stage, it definitely would have happened. That water would have gotten there instantly because the water rising up in the rivers and everything, it would have crushed Sacramento. Would have killed at least anywhere from, we already know they had at the time, they had about 300, but almost a quarter million people on the highways that would have been trapped. They were
Yes.
trapped. They were everybody's in traffic jam trying to get out of the valley here, and they couldn't do it. And we lost five or six people in auto accidents due to that. And it's just chaos what'll happen. And then the food, the famine that'll follow with the food being destroyed.
Yeah, and commerce coming off the coast would be non-existent.
So right now, this dam could, they could take this dam out. And oh, by the way, we're wondering why, and this is the kicker. We're going to wait and see what happens in the morning. But right now, if you were to go to the Oroville Channel and you take a look at the water levels, it doesn't say 840 feet. Dave, it says 514 feet.
Really?
Well, we're going to see if it still stands tomorrow at that level.
The
See, they don't want people.
spillway's
They,
never been fully repaired, has it?
no, oh, no. No, it's damaged goods. In order to fix it right, they have to tear it up. That would be another $1 billion to remove it all.
When that river reaches Sacramento, doesn't it hook up with two other rivers and will make its way to the coast?
It makes its way to the Delta from there down through Stockton. Stockton, well, you got the Sacramento River going down to one part of the Delta. Then it also spills on down to Stockton. It'll all fill up that whole Delta down there, and there's more flooding in the Delta, more homes to be lost.
Talking to our Army Corps of Engineers, I asked them the scenario about 6 or 7 years ago when we first started covering this. And I said, "What do you think the casualty rate would be?" And they said 150 to 200,000 people.
Right.
Does that match with what you know?
No, but not even close.
It'd be more than that.
So, you talk about if this dam goes, if the
Yeah.
dam goes, there's going to be 2 million people potentially as casualties, easily.
And that would be the distraction of all distractions.
Sure.
There's something else
Sure.
going on with.
Even if it went and you had 100,000 people killed, the magnitude of the starvation that would befall the world is almost incomprehensible because of the loss of the rice growing area for 5, 6 years.
I was told it'd be more dramatic than Fukushima.
Oh yeah.
There's something I want to bring up south of the border since we were on the border a moment ago and go back there. I had indications early last week, just about a week ago, that Fast and Furious Part 2 was being had been reassembled by deep state connected to the Biden administration, and they're shipping guns to cartels and military interests. There's three pathways of immigration to the United States, and on the one that the Chinese and Venezuelans are using, this is where the guns were going. So it was leaving Mexico and going south through Guatemala. And people said, "Dave, that's a crazy conspiracy theory." Well, 2 days later, I had Pastor Sam Arnold on my show. He's my Latin American expert. He forgets more about Latin America than I'll ever know. And he said, "Dave, the Mexican government's already launched a protest." He showed me the paperwork and he said, "This is common knowledge in Mexico." And I said, "Well, what are they alleging?" He said, "They're alleging that the Biden administration's using gun manufacturers to send the guns to the cartels." And I'm saying they're not using gun manufacturers. They're trying to kill two birds with one stone. So they want to be able to crack down on the gun manufacturers in America, And they also want to supply the cartels and the Chinese and
Oh,
Venice
they're
Beach
making
and
the
all.
guns on the Indian reservations.
There you go. Exactly what I, yeah, exactly. And so I'm looking at this. What do you make of Fast and Furious Part Two reassembling here and sending guns into Mexico and beyond?
I think it's all part of the overall strategy. You have guns that you have weapons that are already prior placed here in the United States. We know about that. But I think this is all part of the strategy. I think when they ran the Fast and Furious back in the Obama era, that was just the beta test for this.
You know, the attack on Israel on October 7th, I've learned that those guns came out of Ukraine and the money behind it was supplied by missing Pentagon money that was
Right.
never accounted for in black budgets. Have you heard that too?
Oh yeah, the weapons in particular, all the weaponry and stuff like that. I mean, the Houthis are shooting off rockets that we provide.
Okay, that's what I thought.
You know,
Exactly.
the reason why they're so accurate and why they're trying to hit ships and hitting ships, and we're pushing back with the ships that don't have ammunition, which I find interesting. You know, those rockets were the ones that were provided by Joe Biden. And anybody else who wants to run weapons to, you know, any other of the weapons producing companies, the one-on-one weapons to Ukraine, those weapons will make their way into the Houthis and terrorists all around the world.
What about the guns on one on the third immigration path that Michael Yon talks about? Is this for an invasion force, do you think? Is it light infantry stuff?
It could, oh yeah, good, very. There's too much. The population of individuals coming across, the Chinese in particular, they're soldiers. These are soldiers. You can see that. They have the high and tight look. Looking over some of his videos, they've been able to now start to sort out ethnically what I'm looking at on the screen, and I'm seeing a lot of Syrians, a lot of Syrians, and they seem to be very, very determined. But the Ukrainians are already here. The Ukrainians is a subset within the population, the deep fifth column here in America. In California, they're all over the place. And we're talking about military age men. You can go down to the Department of Motor Vehicles in most of the big cities, and you'll run into Ukrainians down there getting their driver's license that have just come across the border. So California has a huge infiltration. This is normal. If you want to do a repopulation invasion, or replacement population invasion, you do things like bring in Ukrainians who look like Americans in a sense, and they can befriend other Americans and the high elites, and pretty soon they're off killing them before the invasion takes place. That's what Hitler did with the Poles in Poland before the invasion of Poland.
Right. Yeah, I'm aware of that. And I see the same thing here. But I want to go back to my question here. Everyone uses the phrase Red Dawn. They overuse it, but I think Red Dawn might be appropriate here. If they're sending high-grade military weapons to cartel and foreign national army members, I'm just wondering, could this be an invasion of like a fifth column force where they'll seize key objectives prior to a real invasion?
I think that from what I'm seeing, and the cast of characters that I'm seeing come across the borders, I think they have objections that they're going to preoccupy before there's the big lift in terms of the fifth column, and then an invasion after that. I think they're going to secure places, and then the invaders are going to show up. There's already talk of the United Nations. I've been getting intelligence reports I can't verify yet. None of us can verify them, but we're hearing more and more that UN people are showing up in some of the big cities.
I've heard that.
Yeah,
And
that's definitely
China and Chinese police as well.
Chinese police, right? The Chinese police are definitely here.
In fact, who was it? It was Michael Yan. He said he was talking to the Chinese he met, and through an interpreter, he asked him, "Do you have Chinese police and agents in America?" And they go, "Yeah, like yeah,
Oh yeah.
like do you have even have to ask that question?" That was my take on what he said. Absolutely incredible what's going on. You know, this is what I've been saying a lot on my Rumble channel, Paul. I'm telling people don't get excited about a civil war because if we go into civil war, that'll weaken us and we'll be subject to invasion by Russia and China. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not too sure. I mean, it's a very interesting time, and that brings us to California because we know what we're doing here in standing up as a state and making we made this proclamation of statehood a week ago yesterday, and down in Sacramento, and very, very telling. We corrected a lot of things, but we also proclaimed that we're a state. Now, what that means is we are the monkey wrench in the globalist right now. We know that. Because wait a minute, you're bringing in another state, and of course, we're going to be a Republican form of government, everything the founding fathers wanted. But we also corrected some history for the first time, telling this publicly for the first time in American history, in California history. But we stood up at the Capitol and we read the Declaration of 1836 of Alta Nuevo California from Mexico, that Declaration of Independence, which no one wants to talk about. Now, let's be very, very clear and understanding. What we're seeing here is that they're invading from the south. They're using a narrative that, of course, this land was owned by the Mexicans first and were the occupiers, and they're
It's
here
not
to take
true.
it back. Well, I know, and I'm gonna tell you what, you know it's not true. Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo is never the right thing, and we want their property back. And I've been down to Mexico and stood in their schools, and all their schools show that the northern boundaries of Mexico include California, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, Utah, and all that. That's the northern border of Mexico. That's what their school maps show. Problem is, that's just not true.
Yeah, I
The
know.
is there is that the Texans declared independence in 1836 in March from Mexico, which is 10 years prior to the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo that we're talking about here. And so did the Alta California guys. They were called Californios, and they were strict constitutionalists, David. This is what people don't get. They were not Mexicans. They were Spanish Castilian stock. They did intermarry with the Mexican mestizo Indians. They did do that. But they were very, very staunch Republicans in the sense that they wanted a Republican form of government and admirers of the founding fathers.
Yeah, I know. I've heard
That's
the
our
story.
problem.
It's amazing.
And so we go down and we say and make the proclamation about this in Sacramento. And we made speeches glorifying, and we read that declaration. And I am telling you, we've got more feedback on that. And it's a correction in history because it's never been told. But it also makes the narrative that we're hearing from all these people trying to take us over, it's a lie. And we've known it's a lie. So we're straightening some things out from that standpoint. They're running into some problems because they have lost all influence over the population. We don't think that we think we have a fifth column now. And I think that this is the thing to understand. Is it, as I was talking to one of the people who advised us, they said, "Paul, you do know that you also have a fifth column." And I said, "What do you mean? There's people who don't want to support Newsom. They're your fifth column." And I said, "I think you're right. All of our feedback, including from sheriffs, Dave,
Yeah, I hear
has
you.
been very supportive of New California."
Well, I know Sheriff Mack is on board with it, and Sheriff Mack's a good friend of mine, and he speaks really highly to this effort that you're doing. We covered something, and I want to go back in time, and I may be just fantasy hunting here, so I'm going to ask the audience to bear with me. But prior to the 2016 election, I think it was probably around 2014, 2015, you and I reported on my show. Documentation that cartel members were going to be armed and they were going to start executing white people in the streets or at public events. And I'm sure you remember that. Do you think the arming of these cartels could be in part at least geared towards doing something similar to that?
Well, I talk. One of my advisors is a very important person in the world of AMLO, and we talk quite a bit when we need to talk. It's on one of those. Okay, so the talk I just had just a couple of days ago is that the death squads are activated, and this is what everybody needs to look out for because this is who we've been talking about, Dave, all these years that they would come at a certain time. Now they've been activated, And we're talking about they'll be taking out police and law enforcement and politicians and media personalities.
I've been told they'll go to things like high school football games or concerts, outdoor concerts, and they'll kill as many people as they can. I've even been told that Vegas situation, which was more than one person, was actually a beta test for such an activity.
It was a cartel hit. It was a cartel beta, and that, the cartel was part of it, but it was a beta test. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I
I
concluded as
am really
well.
surprised that with all the shots that were fired and the caliber that was fired, I've been to Vegas since then, just kind of checking out the scene. And I'm surprised that so many people lived, that there weren't more casualties, quite frankly.
That's amazing. It's all coming to a head. I get the feeling, you remember in Vietnam in 1968, they had the Tet Lunar New Year
Right.
truce. And so the United States wrongly thought we'd have 3 days of peace. And the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese troops attacked every capital of every province in South Vietnam. And it was a PR move to show the American people we got a lot of fight left us, and your president's lying about winning the war. And what ended up happening is this mass attacks on one day. They even occupied the embassy in Saigon. Do you think we're going to look at a Tet Offensive from these forces in terms of multiple attacks across multiple fronts, grid down, dirty bomb, executing people at concerts? I mean, do you think we're going to see all of it at one time?
Yes, I do. And
I
I
do
think
too.
this Super Bowl is a possible trigger point.
Wow. There's been movies made about that. You really think they would be that bold?
Sure.
Because
Monday event like that would destabilize the country, and you know that's what they're looking for. You know, they made a movie that you know, if you ever saw Act of Valor about the Navy SEALs.
no, I didn't see that.
This is about, you need to see that because it points to the Ukrainians and all the things that go on with the Ukrainians. But there's this, I talked to Scotty Waugh, and Scotty Waugh is a producer. His dad was Spider-Man. And he was a, so Scotty grew up in the Hollywood business, and now he's a producer. What was it? Can't remember. I'll think of the second, the producing company that they produced. But the bottom line is, this was the program, about the Navy SEALs. It's one of the it's best produced program about the Navy SEALs you'll ever see. And Scotty Waugh tells the story that when he went down to Coronado to meet with them, to meet with some of the SEALs just to get an idea what this movie might look like, he was escorted. He went to a bar down there, and he was the only person in the bar, and he was facing the ocean and kind of looking out of the bay, and he was kind of looking around having a drink and stuff. And he thought to himself, well, you know, it's getting kind of late and these people haven't arrived yet. So he turned around and the whole room is filled with SEALs dressed up in different garb and camouflage. The whole room. And he didn't even hear them come in. You know. So it started
amazing.
out with a great relationship. But here's the point. They came to an agreement that all the SEALs would actually be the characters in the they would be the actors. They had a few actors, but and so Scotty was like, "Well, you don't have to hire anybody." And he goes, "No, we want to do it, but we have this." He says, "The movie will be scripted after actual real life events that took place,
Oh,
actual missions
my.
that took place." So this movie is a primer to understand what the cartels are about, what we were actually dealing with 10 years ago. It tells you, it shows you so much about even the Darien Gap's involved in Panama, all that stuff. It's an amazing story, but it's an amazing story that centers around a possible event at a large event such as the Super Bowl. And you need to watch it because this will tell you some of the things that these guys actually did and stopped the SEAL. And this.
Grid down will be part of it too. Paul, I hear exactly everything you're saying, and I could not agree with you more.
Right.
It's going to hit on a single day. It'll be the ultimate day in infamy. Man, it's crazy. It's come this far. I'm even going to make a bold prediction. They'll do it in conjunction with the Chinese, the traitors in this country, and then China will launch a coordinated attack, excuse me, against Taiwan.
Right. I think that the opportunity could present itself in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, we had a real bad situation in Las Vegas years ago, as you know, and which never has been researched properly. The sheriff who was part of that whole operation ended up being the police chief, which is
Yeah,
like a county
in
sheriff.
Lahaina, in Lahaina, I know. It can't get any weirder than that.
So you can't
Well,
make any stuff up. You can't make it up. It's just.
yeah, we've raised a lot of questions tonight, and we're out of time, Paul. So you got about 15 seconds to tell people how to follow you.
Well, at Agenda 21 Radio, on Red State Talk Radio, you can listen to us there. But we're
Me
also
too.
at a21r.com and newcaliforniastate.com. And click on, you can go to, we're on Rumble, we're on CloudHub, we're on X, we're on Facebook, we're on a number of different outlets. And all you need to do is come to the website, a21r.com, A as in Adam, 2-in-1-R.com, and listen to us and get connected. We are on
Absolutely.
6 a.m. to 9
And
every.
on that note, my friend, we got a hard break coming. I appreciate you being on. Great information, Paul. Keep up the tremendous work on Agenda 21 Radio in New California.
You too, Dave.
Take care.
Godspeed.